The federal watchdog in charge of keeping an eye on agency personnel systems is giving itself a new game plan. The Merit Systems Protection Board has come up with a new strategic plan for the next 4 years. It includes the agency's mission and vision statements and includes some new strategic goals. Joining us to explain what's going on is Dr. Deanne Batten, MSPB's Performance Improvement Officer. Dr. Batten, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom and Jared, for having me.
So tell us what the background here, what is in this plan, what's new for the next 4 years that the Merit Systems Protection Board is looking at?
Well, let me give you a little background about the plan. Having been involved in the last three strategic plans that we have developed, I can say that we used an unprecedented amount of interaction and extensive outreach in developing this plan. We began with an offsite in the middle of 2010 and developed, went back to our the intent of the agency that was described in the Civil Service Reform Act legislative history. And so some of the language in the plan comes directly from the legislative intent. The plan has revisits our intent according to the CSRA. It has a kind of describes a new understanding of who we are and why we're here and the value that we bring to the workforce and federal agencies. This new plan contains two outwardly focused strategic goals rather than the three goals we had before. The first goal covers reviewing and taking action on individual appeals and assessing existing and proposed merit systems, laws and regulations. The new plan also covers all of our statutory functions. We had discovered in our offsite that we were not really describing our authority and responsibility to review the rules, regulations, and significant actions of the Office of Personnel Management. Then the second goal in our strategic plan focuses on our responsibility to strengthen merit systems, improve adherence to the merit principles, and prevent prohibited personnel practices in the future through informing better policy, conducting outreach to improve the practice of merit in agencies, and establishing educational guidance to improve the understanding of merit and merit principles and prohibited personnel practices. The new plan also has an updated mission focusing on protecting merit and promoting a workforce free of prohibited practices, a new vision statement focused on supporting a qualified, diverse workforce that's fairly managed and provides excellent service to the public, and then new organizational values, including excellence, fairness, timeliness, and transparency.
And Dr. Batten, you started at the beginning here saying that the genesis of this was sort of going back to your roots and revisiting the intent of the Civil Service Reform Act. So you want to lay that out for us and tell us what MSPB is supposed to be all about and what you discovered through that process?
Uh-huh. What we discovered is that really we are supposed to be, and we are, an independent review authority for actions taken against employees and their ability to appeal those actions. But we're also supposed to review the merit systems in general through our studies function and through our review of OPM rules and regulations and significant actions. And the intent, language used things like promote and safeguard, and those are things that we hadn't really focused on as much in the past. And so part of our second strategic goal gets at the value we bring to the workforce and federal agencies through those functions to help take what we do and to use that information to help improve things in the future.
But it doesn't sound like there's any great problem that you're addressing or some fundamental problem with the way agencies are doing merit systems protection itself.
No, I don't think that there's a great problem out there with the way agencies are doing merit systems, but we always have challenges. And as the workforce modernizes and as agencies try new and better ways to manage the workforce, it's incumbent upon us to be sure that we track those sorts of things and watch those sorts of things to protect merit and to make sure the workforce is managed in a way that is free of prohibited practices.
We're speaking with Dr. Deanne Batten. She is the Performance Improvement Officer at the Merit Systems Protection Board.
And Dr. Batten, you mentioned those promote and safeguard functions, going back and reviewing the rulemaking processes at OPM and other aspects of the merit system. As you take more of a focus on that, do you think it's fair to say that going forward over these next 4 years, we're going to see a more proactive Merit System Protection Board?
I don't know that we'll be more proactive necessarily. I think we'll be more intentional in terms of what we look at and in terms of what we focus on. We're always going to spend a great deal of our effort adjudicating appeals, enforcing our decisions, conducting studies. We're going to try to balance that with, an intentional, reasonable effort to oversee the rules, regulations, and significant actions of OPM. But it's a sort of a whole picture sort of focus that we're trying to take. We're trying to look at, both things that are occurring on an individual employee basis, as well as, looking at the rules and regulations that apply to larger portions of the workforce.
Now, there's a new executive order as of, last August or so that is promoting diversity in the federal workforce, and they've also redefined diversity beyond what it was understood to be many years ago, involving, races and religions and backgrounds and so forth, much broader definition of diversity. How do you think agency efforts toward improving diversity per this executive order might affect activities under Merit Systems Protection?
Well, the Merit Systems Protection Board has dual responsibility on certain things having to do with diversity under the merit principles, and that would be something that the Merit Systems Protection Board would be involved in. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is the one that is responsible for, the larger portion of diversity and inclusion in the workforce. We work with them on cases that involve both merit principles and diversity, but in general, it would be the responsibility of the EEOC to oversee that action.
So that means that even though they oversee it, don't you have some kind of, not so much oversight, but some ability to affect the way agencies handle it so that they avoid ending up at the EEOC?
Really, agencies work with the EEOC and the guidance the EEOC promotes in order to improve diversity and improve inclusion. That's another part of the change that happened, is it's not just diversity that they're considering, but they want the workplace to be inclusive. And we agree with those concepts. Those are important things, and they actually contribute to the way organizations are able to conduct their missions and obtain results. But the overall impact or the overall oversight of diversity and inclusion in general would fall to the EEOC. When a case involves diversity as it applies to the merit principles, it can come to us. And there are some, I'm not an attorney, but there are some complicated sort of ways that we process those cases working with the EEOC. So we have a part in that, but the larger responsibility is the EEOC's.
And my other curveball concerns the whistleblower area, which, of course, is Office of Special Counsel. That doesn't go to Merit Systems Protection Board either. But do you feel that, again, if agencies have a good framework in place for following merit systems, that tends to maybe mitigate the cases of whistleblowing?
Give me an example.
Well, I don't know. In other words, if people are feeling that they're listened to and that they are promoted on merit, would that lessen the kinds of tensions that might lead to whistleblowing?
I think whistleblowing.
Or am I making a connection to that? am I making this one up?
Maybe a little bit. But here's my, really thinking on that is that, whistleblowing is a specific behavior that is protected under the merit principles and prohibited by the prohibited personnel practices. It's certainly the case that all of us could understand a bit more about merit, about the merit principles, and about prohibited practices. But, with understanding sometimes comes, recognition about what behavior really entails. And so to the degree that I think whistleblowing might change I'm not sure. You know, I think it's incumbent, one of the things we want people to understand more about is merit and the merit principles and the prohibited practices. But we also wouldn't discourage people from, you know, appropriate whistleblowing. I mean, certainly the Office of Special Counsel is responsible for prosecuting whistleblowing cases. And we have cases that involve whistleblowing in our agency, too. We've had a couple of recent studies that talk about whistleblowing and some of the barriers, for example, that employees face in blowing the whistle. So whistleblowing is certainly of key interest to us, but I'm not sure that there's a nexus between, you know, necessarily
sure.
what we're doing in our plan and whistleblowing per se.
Well, maybe we'll kick that one up to Harvard and they can study it. Dr. Deanne Batten is the Performance Improvement Officer at the Merit Systems Protection Board. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. And let me just mention that our plans can be found on our website, www.mspb.gov. And folks can follow us on Twitter at USMSPB. And then we also have a mobile app in case people are interested in following what we do in our agency.